council meeting for Tuesday, October the 10th, 2017 is hereby called to order. Councillor Fisk sends his regrets today, and for information purposes, he's doing very well. We have, from my perspective, no changes to the agenda today. Are there any other changes to the agenda? Approval of the agenda would be in order. Motion by Deputy Mayor McLeod, seconded by Councillor Kelly. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Under 3.0 presentations, today we have 3.1, International Reenactment Period Encampment 2018. I would ask Owen Hamlin, if you would, please come forward.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'll apologize for my cold first, and if you can't hear me, just raise your hand, and I'll try not to spread any bad germs around. It was almost a year ago when I came here as the officer in charge and made a presentation to the council, and as your package shows, the letter of our ceasing of the project. We want to thank very much the mayor and councillors for supporting us, and especially staff, and especially Mr. Burns, who gave me all the help I asked for, and much more. It just seems that the climate with the federal and provincial people is a little cool. We could only raise approximately 4,000, just a little more than that, supposedly, from ACOA, and we never did have a final meeting with the province. Many of the things we were proposing apparently weren't fitting what the tourism idea was. I have my thoughts on that, but I came because when I came you were so warm to us, I thought I'd formally thank you, and you notice that we haven't given up on the idea. I was talking to all the people at the bar yesterday afternoon in a conference call, and they certainly said keep the door open, and if we can come up with a change, and I'm hoping rather rapidly, within 2 years hopefully, or three, that we could revisit the thing. We have such a well put together encampment idea, and it was rounded with seminars and a lot of things dealing with history, and it's all there, so it would only be a matter of reforming our committee. But it was we were tasked through our own group, the King's Orange Rangers, that we had to have money in hand, or the idea they would vote it down themselves. So our committee made the decision because, of course, that was the mandate, and we didn't have the money. It was as simple as that. But like I said, it's possible in the future, and I'm open to any questions about it.
Any councillors have any questions or comments? Councillor Kelly?
What was the total that you needed?
We had, the final figure was about 57,000. And we did quite well. I might point out quite well locally. The council, I'm ever grateful for the kick start from the council. It was one of the things that made it work. And we had unofficial support from just about, well, everybody I talked to in our business community. But the committee didn't send them a package until we had the other two fundings in place so that we would know exactly what we needed. And we did get some strong help from groups in Queens, not just Liverpool.
So you need to show $57,000 up front to this group before they'll even consider coming?
No, that was our budget.
Okay.
What happens is, you know, with the nature of the world today, our costs for security just went up because we couldn't have them here without 24-hour surveillance. So you set up on a Wednesday to get ready for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you have to keep Monday, so you can realize that right away you're looking at a five figure.
Right.
To just for security. Then you add the other things you need to run. And we weren't looking for a little one. We had enough money to run what we normally would run in privateer days. But this was by far much larger than way larger than privateer days.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Frehley?
You addressed some of the expenses that you had. What were the major expenses for that weekend?
Well, the dollar.
Security.
Other than security, food. One of the things you do when you do something like this is you provide as much as you can to your people that were coming, and we hoped that we could cover a lot of the food costs through volunteer and so on, which we felt we could have. What we needed was a third, and we didn't get a third from the feds. And of course, we won't know what the province had in mind because the second meeting didn't happen. We had a meeting with one of the uppers and did practically what they asked to a letter and still didn't get much of a response. But the dollar, the 5,000 American that you have to give the group, the BAR, which is right now at 78.50, something like that today. So that, you add that, we could have negotiated with them further. But because we didn't have enough on the long side of the bill, it wasn't much use to sit down and negotiate a deal. The bar has been known in the past to groups that had no money or very little, that they simply turned it over to our group, like the Western or the Maritime Command, which I'm in charge of, but I didn't do this as that. This was done under the King's Orange Rangers. But again, when we did Shelburne in 2008, we got the whole 5,000 back because they didn't fulfill or felt they didn't fulfill their part of the contract. The numbers they promised Shelburne didn't show. Well, it would have been the same here. You negotiate that later. But even taking that and adding it to the budget didn't do it. We had to have some strong help from the other two levels of government, like we did from our own.
So I guess my question is, are there any sort of partnerships that you could create? Because having just the King's Orange Rangers puts all the onus on you to raise the money. But you know from privateer days that we partner with so many people, so you know then security can be covered and parts of it can be split. So is there anybody that you could partner with that would complement you in the park?
We had been working with the Historical Society and the museum to provide the places and so on and that sort of thing, and there would have been some help there had we been able to sign the contract and show them in the board in writing that we had done that. The other partnership we had looked at was with people in Lunenburg County who are wanting to set up a German group, a Hessian group, which would be super for the Maritimes and super for the area, but that still is in negotiation and couldn't get settled in time. And as far as partnerships, we were looking at, as you know, as I said earlier, I didn't write a formal ask to any local groups. I went informally to most all of them to see what could be supplied and what our partnerships could be with them. And of course, you know, when you go to Superstore and Sobeys, you're dealing, one will do it, and if they do it, the other won't. So I made sure I told both managers when I came back with an ask that it would be the best offer, and that would be it. There would be, you know, that'd be the end of negotiations for that. And they both understood that. In fact, the Sobeys manager, when I went in to say it was over, he was quite disappointed because he had gone beyond his money and had actually gone to the office and discussed it with them, and they were waiting for a presentation. But like I said, when we sit down as a committee and add all those things up, they still didn't come near to the money we needed. Perhaps as thank you, Council, for that partnership, because that's the way we'd have to really look at it the next time, is change the direction we came in. And that might help it a lot.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Owen, the bar, what do you mean when you say
the Brigade of the American Revolution. There are four major groups in North America, and there's the Brigade of the British Army, and there's ours, and there's the Continentals, and there's also another free group in the States. They are having the same problem we are with sites and raising money for that time period, for whatever reason. I think it's the red at the moment. In Canada, there's not a very warm feeling. If you notice what's happened in Quebec 2 years ago when they canceled the big event and cost them something like $20 million in tourism revenue. Louisburg now, which was a military base, only does civilian. They do their own French military, but they don't have us in anymore to do the battles or anything. It's all civilian. There seems to be in society right now an uneven playing field for reenactors. It's good for civilians, but it's very bad for people who reenact any military group at the moment.
Generated from the south of the border?
Some of it. A lot of it here.
Okay.
All you've got to be doing is reading the papers lately and see what the indigenous people are saying, and now the blacks are saying, and any group, the French. If we could have come up with a better plan with the groups, we might have done a little better. But we, in Liverpool, didn't have much of the French influence at all. You know, the expulsion of the Acadians didn't really affect from Barrington to Halifax. It was really in the valley and on the Fundy shore.
Was this event initiated through your resources here, or was it an American?
No,
came to you?
The master group, of which I am a board member, we initiate nothing except when you make a presentation and ask for a date in the encampment, then we take that part of it over, and they have to approve everything we did. And that second level we didn't go to, because until we had the money, the negotiation wasn't going any further.
So if you had the monies, then there would be very little issues with going forward with the event?
There wouldn't have been any.
Wouldn't be any. And we pay the equivalent Canadian $7,850 to them?
Yeah.
To the American
yes.
group? What do they pay to come here? Or will you look after all this?
Well, the only way we'd get them this side of the border is we pay.
Okay. So
and
that would be travel, accommodations?
The help. We can't pay at all.
Okay.
Because what happens is most of them, the reason we started a year ago in December was because they all have jobs, and they have to pick their vacation time. In fact, one of the presenters is coming, I think, anyway. So we, as the King's Orange Rangers, will host him by ourselves and maybe even have the seminar we were going to have as part of this event.
So I'm sure you approached Heritage Canada then.
We stayed away from Heritage Canada. We didn't want to interfere with Privateer Days and the amount of money raised there. We went through ECOWA, and we're trying to do it as an economic generator, and we failed to convince them that we would be an economic generator. In a small area like ours, the kind of money you think you have to be careful which pot you're going after. It wasn't our wish to hurt any local group. It was to be, you know, on our own, make it work.
But if I may ask, Owen, ECOWA did provide some financial support tentatively.
Well, the best they could offer us, somewhere in $4,300 for the part that they could help us with, which with, I think, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, advertising they were going to help us with.
They hadn't made any commitments.
No, there weren't any formal commitments, but that was the best they would do, period.
Any other councillors have any questions or comments this morning? Well, thank you very much, Owen, for the presentation and the work you've put into this. I know it's been time-consuming, and it's very appreciated by council.
But it was worth it, by the way, and thank you.
Thank you.
Ha ha.
thank you very much for inviting me to update you on our efforts with the Trestle Trail Bridge and its repair. First of all, I'd like to, this is a tentative timeline that we worked out in June for the repair. And just to give you an idea where we stand as far as time goes, the plan was to prepare the proposals for the assessment for by June the 30th, then put it out for the several companies by the 3rd of July. We expected them back by the 26th to the 28th of July. Then we plan to make a selection from the returns, and the engineering would be completed by the 30th of September. And then we submit applications for funding assistance on the middle of September, public consultation the 1st of October of this year, and then repairs would start the 1st of May, completed by the 1st of August next year. The timeline we tried to follow, but of course there's all kinds of reasons why you can't stick with that, but we're still basically in the running for that timeline. I'll bring you up to date with what's been done. That's the original timeline. And I'll give you the actual dates of what's happened so far. So we sent out a request for proposal on the 25th of July. And in that proposal, the three main components we wanted was an assessment of the structure, which included the metal, wood, and concrete. The second was a plan to repair the thing, the bridge, and then also an estimate of what it will cost to fix the bridge, to make it usable. So the RFPs were sent out on the 26th of July to four companies, Able, CBCL, SHM, and Acoustics. There were three replies received on the 23rd of August. That was the deadline. They were from Able, CBCL, and SHM. On the 29th of August, I met with Richard McClellan. We decided to award CBCL with the initial assessment, repair plan, and associated costs. The CBCL price with taxes in is $18,365.50. CBCL was the lowest bid, has local experience in the South Shore area with multiple examples of this type of repair work. Several applications were submitted in September, including this request for $5,000 from the Region of Queens Municipality. As it stands to date, we can still regain our timeline for a completion of this project by the fall of 2018. There are several outcomes to be considered as a result of this completed assessment. In other words, when the assessment is finished, there's a few variations that could come back from this, and I'll just name a few. First of all, the bridge might remain closed until the necessary repairs have been completed. B, the bridge could be used until repairs are started, or repairs could be phased in over a multi-year period, and the bridge could be used after each phase is completed. Or the bridge is too expensive to repair and must be removed. So there's a big range of what the results of this might be. So we have to really wait for these results to see what kind of, how we're going to handle this and how we're going to move forward. But the results of the assessment will determine the proper direction to take, and the assessment will be completed within approximately 2 months once they start. So I haven't given them the okay to start because we're still surfacing the money. But I've just been advised today that we've had a favorable review from the partnering people and as far as the money goes to do this part. And then of course the big bill is gonna roll in after this. But So with your money, I guess we're just about ready to start. I should know by the end of this week the assessment, which is the critical part of the whole thing. Okay, that's all I have. Is there any questions that should bring in?
Any questions or comments of councilors?
That's where we stand today.
Yeah, I just missed, oh, sorry.
Councilor Kelly?
I just missed the dates. I thought you would update the rest of the dates, but if they're on schedule that you might be able to hold those, could you just go through the rest of those dates again? Just after starting in October, what's the next thing that will happen starting at that date?
Okay, the actual?
Yeah.
We expect, once we award, or we've already awarded them the work, once I've established we've got a commitment for the funding,
yeah.
It's gonna take 2 months. In their proposal, said it will take 2 months to do this assessment. So we're hoping that we can get this started right away because freezing weather might slow them down. So we're hoping, well, if I start them this week, it's 2 months from this week. They'll have their report.
Mid-December, you're looking to get
yeah.
a report back from CDLC.
That was the part of their proposal. They'll do it within 2 months.
Okay.
Councilor Johnson?
Brian,
yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but we already had, some time back, there was an engineering study done on the trestle, right?
No. Not that I'm aware of. There was a visual inspection done without any work, basically.
Engineering component.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to do now. That's the start.
Councilor Fancy?
Yes, Brian. I like your tenacity going forward with this because it's like a white elephant sitting there right now. We're just nowhere, we're going nowhere, and at least you're looking at trying to go forward with this. Now, when the initial is as Councilor Johnson has said, the initial overview or look at just a visual. That was talked about a two phase of looking at the metal and then looking at the bridge and looking at the metal. Will this all be done under this assessment?
Yes.
Just one assessment?
Yeah.
So when you get your assessment back from this, then you won't have to go to a second assessment or anything like that?
No, after we get this, there's the assessment, plan to repair, and the cost. Once we get those three things, the next step would be to put out for tenders who can do this work, and they're going to know what they have to do because the plan's going to show what repairs need to be made. So we should be able to move forward as soon as we get this. And it's just the big one is going to be the dollar signs. That's going to determine what.
Councilor Phil.
So I just want to get it clear what this report, because when we first started this a while ago, we were told that the next report would cost around $150,000. So it's just to find out what was going on. So is what your company's doing the same, or that you're aware of, the same amount of work that we were told at the time for $150,000? Or is it just this is the realistic price?
Well, this is on paper. This is agreed to. This
yeah.
is the price. There's no, that's what their proposal
yep.
stated, and we accepted it, so it's, I guess it's an agreement.
Right.
And as far as the other assessment goes, I wasn't aware of
okay.
what was asked for in that assessment. I don't know if there were repairs involved in that or
mm-hmm.
or what, but we're not looking for repairs. We're just looking for basically those three things to tell us which direction we're going to go. I mean, it could be phased in over 5 years, and we could be using it next week. I mean, as soon as the assessment comes in, but we'll know.
Well, I just want to thank you because, you know, most of the pushback from the public, you know, using taxpayers' dollars was we didn't want to spend another $150,000 for a study that may give the results that you're going to
yeah.
get. So hats off to you for $19,000 and being able to do that. So fingers are crossed that it's gonna come together.
I'm confident we're going to.
I know you are. It's great. That's called tenacity. Councilor Fancy.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Brian, thank you so much for your efforts in this, and all the best for the positive outcome. When you say that it could be in the different, that it could be open for usage initially or phased in or whatever over the project term or the repair time. Are you talking pedestrian traffic or ATVs? What type of usage are you referring to?
Well, if they open it for usage, it would be what they're saying is capable for the usage we're planning.
Okay.
Capable.
Capable.
But that doesn't mean we have to actually
utilize
use it that way. But if they say, well, we have to repair, possibly could say we have to repair this one abutment, and then we can open it and we can do this abutment next year, and then these the year after, and so it would be shut down during those construction periods. As far as the ATV group, I'm pretty sure that's what you're referring to.
Yes, yeah, so whoever's
yeah.
going to be using,
yeah.
Other than in addition to pedestrians.
Access to the bridge is still in the planning stages. The only possible usage you may consider would be from this side. The other side, there's a trail to be built,
mm-hmm.
access
sure.
to be agreed to. There's a lot of question marks there yet. I mean, we're working on it, but the bridge is the important link that we have to get done first, so we
so
continue on with the rest. But unless we get something designed and built to reach this end of the bridge, that would give them access to the Irving, which is really important, or not just the Irving, the garages and food and that sort of thing. So.
But if it was assessed and accredited to the fact that it could be used for pedestrian use, then that would open up that bridge again for people on the west side of town to be able to access
yes.
east side and getting the services that they've missed or had to pay taxi service, whatever, to come to.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the thing you're going to consider is that the actual, at least this is what I'm told, the actual footprint on the ridge versus a 200-pound person and a machine on four tires is relatively
right.
the same. So as far as load goes,
mm-hmm.
it's not a big question mark. That's already been established. But I guess if it's open for pedestrian traffic, then we're certainly going to ask that the barriers be removed and use it as soon as possible.
Okay,
that would be our opinion anyway. We don't own it, but no.
If I may, at this point, our acting CAO Jennifer Keating Dubley, would like to add to this.
So I'm just curious. And maybe you weren't provided with the previous reports that we had prior to this, that the scope for the second phase, so the $100,000, was by pylon or by pier, materials that would be needed, and it was supposed to give a very detailed description of exactly how much it would cost going forward to make the repairs on the bridge. So do you don't know for sure whether the scope of this report is exactly the same as what that next phase would be, that they're going to get into that kind of detail on exactly what's needed for repairs for the whole?
Oh, yes, that's what that's part of their proposal. They're going to assess all materials, the
mm-hmm.
concrete, the steel, the wood, see what needs to be done, and they're going to develop a plan on how to fix all of it, what needs to be done, and then they're going to cost it out to say this is what needs to be done and this is how much we estimate it's going to cost, and then we can go to a firm that does the actual work and say this is what needs to be done and how much of your group of contractors bid on it and see what we can come up with for a price.
And then be willing to kind of may or may not contradict the first report we have. We'll see how that goes. But were they aware of that? Were they aware of that first report? Did they have?
I don't think so. I think one of the companies that bid on this was one and the same as the company that provided the.
Actually, who gave us the first report?
Well, I don't know. They changed names, but I'm pretty sure I spoke to the gentleman that was involved in that assessment. But he may not have been with the same company, but I know he said, I did this already, so we know what we're looking at, so. I'm not gonna do a comparison. If they say, if an engineering firm says they can do it for this money, I'm gonna believe them.
Well, that's,
and we're gonna
where
move forward.
I'm putting it back to them, exactly.
Yeah.
So if they do come back with this very detailed list, then depending on what that cost is to repair this bridge going forward, do you have the funding sources lined up for whatever those repairs may?
Well, if prior to all this, I guess probably May, maybe, I don't have the exact date in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
We had a meeting with COA, provincial people, and Richard McClellan here. I'm not sure if you were at that meeting or not, but maybe
I've
not.
Been at some meetings, but I can't say those.
Well, at that meeting, we discussed the project. And at that meeting, each department was asked, could you and would you, and if you could, roughly what would you be in this for? And at the end of that meeting, we had recorded the numbers, and it was enough to do the repairs if everyone followed through on their commitment. But that was only a verbal thing, and that could have changed now. I don't
Richard
know.
Richard McCullough speaking on behalf of the region of Queens, you?
Yes, he represented the region. We had people from ACOA and Health and Wellness at that time. I don't think it's called Health and Wellness now. But we had all the levels there and all the people that supposedly had the authority. There was no written commitment, but the numbers indicated if they commit to that, we'll be able to do it. Or
and so currently at this time, I mean, we don't have a project on our capital plan, of course, for anything to do with the bridge repairs. And absolutely, we're going to welcome all the information that you bring forward, and we will look at it then. But I was under the understanding that, first of all, the region of Queens is not involved in this because all of that consulting and construction and contracting would have to be RFP'd and tendered and everything. So we wouldn't be at the table as this owning this project just yet. But secondly, we were under the understanding when we entered in the agreement with Rails to Trails that there were multiple funding sources available both provincially and federally that Rails to Trails could access, that the Region of Queens Municipality could not, and that there wouldn't be a need for the Region of Queens to step up with any large amount of money, capital funding-wise, going forward?
No, that's not my understanding.
Yeah, so
we'll leave it at that. Brian, if you could you clarify CBCDL's experience working with railway bridges in the
region? I don't have their... Well, I know that they provided examples of at least six bridges along the shore, and some of them very similar to what we're dealing with. And I think there's one further east that they did, which is almost identical to this bridge. So, again, this is my own opinion, but I think they already know what they have to do.
They have
to get
experience
this done. Yeah.
Railway
bridges. Yeah.
I'm going to go to Councilor Fancy. A question or comment.
Yes, got a couple little things here. I guess the whole idea is what we're all in the business of looking forward to an answer whether this needs to be repaired or demolition. You know, that's the whole thing. It's sitting there, like I said, sitting there like at the white elephant. But what are we going to do with it? And if we don't do one thing, then we have to do something else. We can't just leave it set there forever and let it decay and what the problems it could cause along the way. So I like the idea if this study can come forward to tell us one way or the other which way to go. If not, we don't have a plan. So since we don't have a plan, you're bringing forth a plan, which I think it's worthwhile for us to step in to try to help. Say that first off. And this could also too. I'm looking at all the other bridges. Like you drive around, you see a lot of other train bridges in the same type of decay, and maybe not quite into the same type of thing. It could set a stage for what other bridges are going to have to do, and maybe going forward. The other thing I don't want to see is that I know we talked about the walking across the bridge and such as, and maybe if things worked out well, that could be. I don't want to set forth a false expectation that everybody hears that. and then all of a sudden it doesn't happen. That all of a sudden we get sick, like, okay, well, if we do this, all of a sudden they're going to be, might be able to walk across the bridge, and they never happen, and everybody gets mad at you, gets mad at us, because we're setting a false expectation that they're going to be able to walk. But it's just a possibility, along with it. Let's bring that forward, because, you know, people are very selective in their hearing, what they want to hear from it, because as you said, it's got nothing to do with weight, it's got to do with if it can hold us up. Right now, it could have a potential of falling over. That's the whole thing. How many times I said that? That if I walk across that, what does it matter? You know, it doesn't matter. It's just I could have fall down myself. That's what the whole thing is all about. So yeah, I don't want to get a false expectation. So when we're doing this, we're not going with an expectation you're going to be able to walk there. We're going with the expectation that you can have that you're going to be able to assess this. This is the one that's going to know where we're going with this. And if we can walk, that's a bonus.
Yes.
Councilor Johnson, did you have your hand up?
No.
Any other councilor? Councilor Frehley?
Well, I'm going with the positive approach, and I'm going to be on the bridge next fall and celebrating with everyone else. So, because I believe you put positive out there, and then you'll get positive back. And so if we all think that the best outcome, then I think it's going to happen. And but I had a second part of that. So if the bridge, for example, doesn't pass and it has to be demolished, would you still continue forward with plans to cross the river at some point? Or have you got that far?
There's no really planning for destruction of the bridge.
Okay, right? Good.
And
positive.
There is an alternate route, but it's not going to, it's more of a place you would come and go to.
Right.
It's not a through direction. It's way up into Rosignol and back down. And the first place you hit where you get gas would be Sable River.
Right.
And the next place is going to be the service station at Hebb's Cross by the Barney Stone. There's no machines going to go that far without
right.
gas, getting gas somewhere.
So not only is it important for them to be able to get in, but for us it's an important part of our infrastructure. And
yeah.
You know, we're putting out things like this, you know, Find Your Adventure.
Yeah.
That is one of the adventures that should be
yeah.
on this map.
Destination.
And, we've been talking to a lot of people that are moving into the community, a lot of people who have been dependent on that in the past, and everyone's excited for the possibility for it to open up, and because that's one of the reasons that people have moved here, because of the trails, and you know, we just keep expanding our trails. It's wonderful. That is the key connection to all of them. So,
well, it's going to join Yarmouth to Halifax.
Yep, absolutely.
And put us right in the middle.
And
so
it's going to join all our trails that we already have
yep.
within the area. So.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Thinking positively and when this is going to be open, can you imagine the amount of visibility that people have within our community? How often would you cross a river and see what we can see from that location?
Yeah.
It's like crossing the 103. It's amazing. And we can be the first, whatever, to create that. Because
yeah.
every other little pathway or a route or whatever bypasses these wonderful views that we see, and we're very fortunate here to have that.
Yeah.
And that's all about tourism, that's all about economic development, is visibility and attraction.
I agree.
Any other councilor have a question or comment? Thank you for the presentation, Brian. I would ask if you would remain at the presentation desk for a minute. Christine, you have some papers. Councilor Fancy, would you like to take the lead on this one?
It is so recommended. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a $5,000 grant to be paid from prior year's operating surplus to assist the Trails Association with proceeding with their Trestle Trail Bridge Assessment Consulting Report.
Seconded for that motion, Councilor Frehlich.
All the hands go up.
Any discussion on that motion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And thank you, Brian. Christmas came early today.
Thank you very much.
Rainbow. Thanks for your work, Brian.
Thank you. We'll now move on to 4.0, tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to be tabled today? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. We'll move on to 5.0, public question comment session. Please state your name, your address, and limit your comments or questions to 5 minutes, please. Liam.
Here's Nick Mombe this morning with all that's going on here, the good news and so on. Leon Robertson, College Street in Little Bowl. First of all, I just want to comment with respect to what the presentation by Mr. Hatt, very positive one, and also the positive action that council has taken here, and my counselor, who has made it known that he supports this project, and it's very good to see that, and I think it'll be very good for tourism and so on if that can be done. We have a very different picture here now than we did a year or two ago, and the information is coming in that it's going to cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars to do it and study and so on and so on. And if things come down, starting over with an $18,000 assessment and so on, we may be able to get something going there and get the bridge open as soon as possible. But it seemed to be doom and gloom during the previous council. That's what was coming out as far as figures were concerned. Anyway, it's very good news. Secondly, Mr. Mayor, street talk and so on are talking to different people around with respect to Port Mercy, and particularly with the ship's demolition and so on. It seems to be slowing down there a bit. I know they're still busy taking ships apart, but I understand there's been a few of them that initially, I guess, we thought we'd be coming here that have gone to other areas such as Sydney and even Quebec, I understand. And rumor has it is that there's nothing on the horizon at the moment, and that's possibly maybe in the spring. And I'm just wondering, if that's true or what's going on. My suggestion would be, might be a good idea if we could have the manager of Port Mercy, who supervises the whole program down there, to come and address council. I don't think he's been here recently anyway, or maybe he hasn't been here at all. Perhaps maybe he hasn't come up because I realize there's a lot more things going on at Port Mercy than the ship demolition. And we have the marijuana coming on stream and so on, and other projects that are there. Would it be possible, Mr. Mayor, as we could invite
It may be helpful, Leon, to understand that management at Port Mercy changed this spring. The previous manager retired. Steve McIsaac is the present person in charge of Port Mercy. He would not, from my understanding, be able to speak on behalf of other businesses that may locate there. And certainly there is a fair amount of paperwork being done on the Port Mercy files regarding businesses that are there. Perhaps at a future date, Steve McIsaac would be willing to come. I can only expect that at this present time he would be unable due to the amount of changes that they're going through internally. But we will certainly keep it in mind for a future presentation.
Thank you. I didn't realize that the previous manager had retired. I thought that he was still there.
No.
Okay, but we'll keep that in mind for the future, are you, Mr. Mayor? One other comment. I understand there's a new business shop opening up on Main Street in Liverpool in the near future. I heard that on the street a short time ago, and that would be good news. The bad news part is that we lost a business here within the last week or two, and that is Queens Chrysler in Brooklyn or San Diego area. Has closed some stores for good, I guess, as I understand it. They're moving up for sale, so I've heard. And the equipment and everything has been moved to Woodward. So, anyway, that one loss, but perhaps we've been gaining
gallery you'd like to speak?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of council, as chairman of Branch 38.
Bill, your name and the address.
Bill Cox, 121 Bob Road, Whitemore. As chairman of Branch 38 of the Royal Canadian Legion, and on behalf of the veterans of Queens County, I wish to thank you and the members of council for amending the parking bylaw and providing parking for those people who have veterans' plates. While it's not a big deal monetarily, it's the tokenism that this is being done somewhere else and why not us? And it is very appreciated by the veterans that I've talked to and also members of the Legion. So thank you very much for that part. In regard to a second item, the rails to trails and the work on the bridge, this is very positive. This is a complete 360 from what we were led to believe had to happen a year, maybe a year and a half ago, when we were talking $500,000 just to find out what was going to have to be done there, and to find that Brian and his group are continuing to pursue this this project, which I think can be a real boost to tourism and provide a new form of tourism to Queens County. We're one of the few counties now that don't have access for ATVers, and from what I've been able to find out about them, they are very self-disciplined, and they're not, as some other groups have portrayed them, they're something like the motorcyclists. They are very self-disciplining and have code of conduct and sort of thing that their members look up to. And through you, Mr. Mayor, to Brian, keep your shoulder to the wheel and keep it up. I think that the big thing is coming for the region of Queens, and it's nice to have positive news. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. Any other member of the public gallery would like to speak this morning?
Kim Williams, R Street, Liverpool. Something that was brought up even before you became mayor was the fact of having meetings switched to an evening timing. And that seems to be popping up in the news again with all different councils, because it's showing that a lot of people can't participate, they can't go to the meetings, they can't have counselors, they can't come in to support different items because they're at work, not able to attend. And I think, and I know people say, well, that means shifting, like staff around and stuff like that. Well, I know that's an awkward thing to do when you haven't done it, but a lot of other communities have done it, so if there's an issue with that, you can always phone other communities. They're always willing to help and, say, well, this is what we did, and maybe this will work for you. So I'd like to see that revisited again. CKCBW did a survey on this that just came back. Almost 70% of people said they would like an evening meeting because they want to attend, they want to be there, and they want to participate in the community. And I think that's the point of having council, is that you're supposed to have your community take part in it and have input into it and be able to respond to it. And you can't do it if you're stuck at work and you can't attend the meetings.
Thank you, Kim. I'd like to clarify a bit on that, because it is a good question. And there are members of the public who would like to attend meetings and at times are unable to. And we've tried to accommodate to the best of our ability. And we've had day meetings for a number of reasons, which I'd very quickly like to explain. We have a significant amount of business in the region of Queens, which we conduct at council meetings, as well as in camera. And that's a good thing, because to have that business means that we're actually accomplishing things in Queens and discussing them. We start our meetings at 9. We very often are going on at 1, maybe 2 in the afternoon with council meetings. We have staff present because they're here in the office. They don't have to attend all through council meeting. We can source them from their office. They can work during the time that we're holding council meetings. And of course, in that respect, they're not entitled to time off the next day. if we go to evening meetings and we bring in staff, which we do for a number of issues that are on the agenda, then they're entitled to time off. It's productive time the next day that when someone comes to the region of Queens, if an individual on staff is not here, then of course there may or may not be another individual that can help the member of the public. I do not think that council would be very productive if we were here till 1 in the morning. And I say that honestly because if we start at 7, we're going to be here after midnight. I did a look across Southwest Nova Scotia at about 6 municipal units. I looked to see what they do with their evening meetings, and they do have evening meetings. The majority schedule 1 hour for an evening meeting, and they're done within the hour. Some have a half hour meeting. That's a far different issue than the region of Queens, which is one of 3 regional municipalities in the province of Nova Scotia. So we went from 2 council meetings per month to 3 with the committee of the whole meeting to spread out the long meetings to make it easier on councillors. And I do not have a quick solution to your inquiry. I wished I did. We can talk internally about solutions and see what is possible. But I wanted to identify some of the concerns that we deal with when we look at what time of the day or evening we have our meetings. There's no easy solution for the amount of time that it takes to handle council business. So hopefully that provides an additional bit of insight on that issue. But we will have an internal discussion and see what's possible. Yes,
Mr. Mayor, will I get a second kick at the hand?
Yes, you will.
You and the previous CEO here a number of years ago, I know what the committee is talking about, and it was brought up, and we tried it, and we advertised the meetings well in the paper and the press and what have you, radio and the papers and so on. And we tried a few evening meetings, sort of thing, and we didn't have any more people show up than we did in the daytime. Now, that's not saying that things may have changed now as far as people's views are concerned. What I would suggest, and I think I've mentioned this before, is perhaps maybe having meetings out in the community. And I know a number of councils do that. They call them town hall meetings or whatever. Go to perhaps maybe have one a year or a couple of years or whatever, say West Queens, to accommodate that area so people can come in and express their concerns and opinions what's going on in the council. One in the North Queens area, another one maybe in the Portland Bay area. And as far as Milton and Brooklyn are concerned, well, it's close enough even to have when you have your meetings here. So perhaps maybe that could be taken into consideration when the council staff decide what you may be able to do with the situation. I can understand what the city's going to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Leon. Any other member of the gallery would have a comment or a question this morning? Well, thank you all very much. We will move on now to 6.0, approval of the minutes. I have one amendment to the
You okay? Yeah.
I was getting shoes and I don't know what I'm doing.
They didn't see it.
Moving on to 6.1, audit committee minutes. I have one amendment to those minutes to add the addition of Bruce English, community member at large, to the minutes as in attendance. Any other amendments or corrections to the minutes of the audit committee? A motion to approve the amended minutes would be in order. Moved by Councillor Mew, seconded by Deputy Mayor McLeod. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? If unanimous, thank you. Are there any errors or omissions in the regular council meeting minutes of September 26, 2017? Hearing none, a motion to approve the minutes would be in order. Moved by Councillor Frelich, seconded by Councillor Mews. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. We have nothing today under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly. We have nothing today under 8.0, economic development. Under 9.0, corporate services, 9.1, we have an update to bylaw 21, a bylaw respecting smoke-free places, second reading. Councillor Kelly, would you like to take the lead on 9.1?
Yes, thank you. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give second reading to amendments to bylaw 21-A, bylaw respecting smoke-free places.
seconded to that? Councilor Frilich, any discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. Under 9.2, Union of Nova Scotia Municipalities Fall Conference. Councilor Muse, would you like to take the lead on 9.2?
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the registration of Deputy Mayor for the Union of Nova Scotia Municipalities Fall Conference.
Seconded to that motion? Councilor Frilich? Any discussion? Councilor Fancy?
Yeah, I'm always got a question, different little thing by the way. I think that we have a very good representative to go forward, but how are we going to choose these things in the future? I mean, like this we've got the counselors who go to different things, and maybe it would have been somebody else might want to have been considered or wanted to be considered in such as, because I know like talked with like Councilor Fisk before about, well, it'd be good to, maybe this would be good to go to or something. So when we bring forth the recommendation, I don't want to go against somebody who I think is very qualified to go, but you know, for the future, how are we going to do these things rather than bring a recommendation and vote against them? But I don't like that idea.
For your information, when the requests for meetings come in from UNSM, yeah, everybody receives a copy,
right,
and those that have an interest express it. Right. We look at the meeting that's being held and the cost to send delegates, and a recommendation comes through to council if it's outside of the area. And in this respect, it's a four-day conference in Halifax.
Yeah.
And it was moved that one individual go, being Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Okay.
So it's on the table for discussion today, and the councilors have any questions or comments. Councilor Kelly.
Yeah, I'd like to see a policy on that. We don't have a policy currently on that.
We have a policy. Yes, we do.
Sorry. We have a policy on a number. Maybe the policy needs to be updated. We have a policy that what the process that you go through when somebody asks to go to these, but there's no number on it. So all of us could really apply and have this approved and we could all go then.
You could, but it would be a financial implication beyond the budget.
Yeah,
if
I understand
you
that.
Soon spent
yeah.
that money, you wouldn't be going to any.
Yeah. So I'm good at that. Because I just like to say that after attending the spring conference at USNM, it is an invaluable experience for any counselor to be able to go to this conference. The contacts that you meet, the information that you receive from UNSM is very, very valuable, and I would encourage everybody to be able to go to that. And seeing from other councils, and I do understand the monetary implications, but some councils send their entire council, it's just an automatic thing that you go to. It's like an industry thing, so most businesses would send theirs to their industry function or whatever, but this for counselors, I just believe it's an invaluable tool for any counselor to use. So I just wanted to put that in there. So we should manage this in a better way in the future. I realize I didn't miss the deadline, but it was just coming up now, but I realized for council and to go through this policy to approve people, and I should have realized that from before, so.
I can see you.
So each budget year we do look at where the UNSM or where the AMA conferences are in the following year, and we put numbers to persons. The previous council had specifically chosen not to send to either the SEM, the AMA, or the UNSM, other than one representative. And in this case, there's a couple of items which have actions to attach to them on this UNSM agenda, affordable housing being one of them, and Deputy Mayor being well-versed in these few actionable items. So she was definitely the best choice this time around, but each time we have conferences or seminars, requests to send representatives, we will absolutely forward it to all councils and see who's interested, and if we do have more than one, we will look to council to decide who they would want to choose. If going forward, this council feels that the UNSM is valuable and gives you that, a networking, I realize as well, is kind of a big part of it, we will absolutely put an amount to each of you for the coming year's budget, and that can be a budget decision for you, a budget deliberation choice that you can make, and we can put more money in this coming year's budget so that more of you could attend the UNSM if you so choose.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I agree with sending the groups, and from past experience, I think with the FCM and the UNS, and we did have an agreement that it would be a rotating basis, like two counselors, specific ones would go 1 year, and then they would rotate for the next, which really worked well.
Exactly.
And then we'll get into the budget crunch when, you know, with the budgets and that sort of thing, when Bowater closed and trying to stream down everything. Jennifer, I'm asking, so I agree that we, you know, we should all have the opportunity to go. And Counselor Kelly went with me to UNSM spring conference, and it was very great information, and it's always good to have that buddy there too, because you kind of miss, sometimes when you're in those sessions, you miss a lot, unless you get the copies of all the, you know, the overheads and that sort of thing. So it's always good to have bounce back off one another.
Plus back-to-back sessions,
too. But Jennifer, is it possible, and do they offer a group discount if there's more than one counselor from municipalities going? Do they offer any discounts at all for membership?
UNSM doesn't. There's the odd seminar that comes up where I think if you send four or five, there's a discount for it. UNSM specifically, no. AMA, no. And FCM, no.
Really?
Yeah. FCM is always quite substantial cost because it's always quite far away.
It is.
It's rarely close to us. It's usually BC or Alberta or Ontario.
But we're very prudent, if possible. You know, we share accommodations and we share driving, and, you know, so you're only ever
Absolutely.
Getting one or two. So there is an opportunity for looking at the cost to keep it down.
Definitely.
But the valuable information is very, very important, and sometimes that comes at a cost.
And that is probably how we look at it, too. We would look to, you have a four-year term, we would send two or three to each of these and then kind of rotate who would go where, and
yes.
then we can look to that
yeah.
aspect,
sure.
who could
yeah.
travel together easier.
Yes.
Councilor Frillick, did you have anything?
Yes. I think that I totally understand budgets, but I think, again, that these are invaluable because you make connections that could pay back hundredfold. I mean, it's just, I think it's amazing the people that you meet that we're not aware of when we're just sitting here in Queens County. So I strongly believe that previous council made a mistake by allowing that to happen. And we need to correct that and moving forward, because we've talked to other counselors and they have just gained so much information. So we need to talk about that soon. The second part of it is there an option available to attend the sessions during the day and not be there for
They will not break it down into a daily admission. It's 4 days or none.
Okay. So
one registration
no
fee, no matter how many days you choose to attend.
Okay. That's unfortunate.
That's unfortunate.
Because in Halifax, I mean, it's an hour and a half away, and we could go in to the things that we're interested in. And, yeah. Okay.
Okay, I have Councillor Johnson.
Well, I think this speaks to process. You know, the policy is there. I agree with Councillor Kelly that I think the process is what needs to be straightened out here. And this particular item, if you look back in, I think, three council minutes ago, I broached the subject, and the report that came back was just what we heard here today. Well, this is the way we do it. I think it's time we start looking at the way we do things and put a selection process in place, because I totally disagree that one councillor is voiced in all of the different things that come up at UNSM. And especially the 10 recommendations that come up. There's more than housing there that's important to us. There's transportation, there's the senior safety officer, and all that stuff that we all participate in. And I think it's time that we get ourselves around the process to do this that best suits the financial needs, but as well as the needs of our council in general.
And you're right, there's a number of other items that we are
Absolutely.
Definitely vested in. They're not all actionable items. They don't all have actions coming forward from them. A lot of it is information, so we hope that the Deputy Mayor will be able to bring that information back to us as well. UNSM does provide on their website all the information from these conferences, so we can definitely log in and have a look at that. It was absolutely my intention to bring forward that policy that was previously tabled by the other council about that attendance and that rotating attendance for two or three members of council to attend those regular events. Absolutely was my intention to bring that back to budget deliberations this year. So since you've mentioned it, of course, we have kind of gone through that process, but it's such a large budget implication. Absolutely, we will bring that policy back when we're going through budget deliberations in February and March. And currently with this motion on the table, that it, if it is the will of council to send another representative to this, that is your choice to put forward. Just be aware that that money will have to come from somewhere currently in this budget and is not currently been budgeted for.
Any other councillor? I have Councillor McLeod.
Also, and since we haven't been to these big conferences for a number of years, I'm not familiar with the process of voting on these resolutions, but I do remember from years gone by that the resolutions were voted on and it is a per member voting right basis. So if we're only one there and we are very, very, you know, interested in a resolution, the more people that attend, then we have better opportunities to have that voted in our favor from the attendance record. So, and I think that's how they are voted, but I'm not sure, unless they go by municipalities.
I could add to that a little bit, Deputy Mayor. There are 17 resolutions on the paper mm-hmm. for the annual convention, and at the end of the day at that convention, there will be 5 brought to the
that's
convention.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So 12 will disappear between now and the convention. I would have an expectation that the ones that are brought forward will receive near unanimous acceptance at the annual meeting, but that's yet to be determined.
Mm-hmm. And it depends on the flavor of the meeting.
That's right. Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Any other questions or comments today? Okay, we have a motion before us under 9.2. Any further discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. We'll move on to 9.3, Transportation Working Group appointment. Councillor Fancy, would you like to take the lead on 9.3?
Okay, it is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality appoint Councillor Gil Johnson as an observer to the Transportation Working Group of the Queens Care Society as a means to communicate progress back to council.
Seconder to that motion? Councillor Mews? Any discussion? Councillor Fancy?
First off, what does that mean?
So they did request from us a representative on the working group. Mm-hmm. Gil's been familiar with the process all along and has been involved through the Queens Care Society and has resigned his position as president of Queens Care Society. So they felt that would give us continuity. And Gil was quite happy to take that on. But we want to assure everyone that this is a community initiative. It's not a Region of Queens project, this transit working group. So it would be good to have representation at the table, not as a member of the committee, but as an observer, aware of the program, and able to communicate that information back to council then on a regular basis. So just so we know where the project is and the status of it currently as it's ongoing.
Don't get me wrong, Gil. Maybe I just had the wrong type of beans this morning or something. I don't know. create undue expectations when you have a counselor there that they expect different things from the Region of Queens that will, as rather than just have someone there, you're just talking. You say, well, we want the region to do this, we want the region to do that, and does it create things that in the future we might have something like the pool committee said we'd like to have a counselor there for an observer, and we start getting into other things too. I don't know. Just ask the question.
And I think the reason we put the motion officially on the agenda is so that we are able to point out our objectivity in this, that it's not our project, and we just really want council to have a direct line of communication as far as what's going on and what's happening with the committee. But this motion allows us to point out that it's an observer position and not an actual representative or a member of the committee. So that's why we brought it forward. And I think Councillor Johnson is aware that he's there as an observer and wouldn't be speaking to the Region of Queens involvement, knowing that it would be a choice of council as a whole going forward if there was any further involvement than where we are now.
Okay. Councillor Johnson?
And I think what it does, just to define a little bit of where we're at with this and how we got to this point, I sat on the Transportation Working Group, which is morphing into what our goals are to make, you know, because we're one of the few counties in the province that does not have a transportation system, and to have that continuity with council. And in the early stages, we have staff support through Mike McLeod as we work ourselves through the grant process, the TRIP grant, the research initiative piece, and the business plan, and the pre-implementation. I think as a council, we need to be part and parcel to that, but it's kind of a clarification of roles at this point in time, and absolutely no expectation other than feedback and support from council of how important a transportation system is to the county.
Any other councilor have a question or comment?
Question.
Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Under 10.0, engineering and works, we have 10.1, trucking of bulk salt tender. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to take the lead on 10.1?
Yes. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the tender PW05-2017/2018, trucking of bulk salt, be awarded to Donald Wynot Trucking Limited for the quoted price of $38 per metric ton plus HST for the 2017-18 winter season.
Seconder to that? Councilor Pansy? Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Brings us to 10.2, capital projects update. I wonder if the Director of Engineering, Brad Roeder, would give us an update on that.
Salt one that was just done, was it?
Yep.
Good morning. The remaining capital work is winding down for the year. We're tending to the finishing of this capital work and the remaining maintenance work. With that, over the last month and a half, we've gone back to regular hours and reduced the capital workforce, the number of temporary capital workers. The town hall, that roofing job is essentially complete. The cupola remains to be done. And we'll complete that once an adequately and properly sized man lift becomes available to us, and that should be within a week or so. That'll be done. A few other little details and areas that need to be addressed before we can say that project's 100% done, but almost. The main and school street upgrades, the sanitary sewer, storm sewer, force main, water main, laterals, catch basins, they're all 100% installed. There may be one or two catch basins up on Waterloo Street intersection. Actually, it's got to go in, yeah, I think. But other than that, it's all done. The remaining work, obviously, is the concrete curb and gutter, sidewalk, road base, and asphalt. It'll be about another further 2 weeks to complete the concrete curb and gutter to Waterloo. A small section of curb at Main and School Street intersection remains to be done, and we're awaiting NS Power to replace a deteriorated pole right on that intersection, this being the only time that Nova Scotia Power really will have the opportunity to do that without ripping up a street, a new concrete curb and sidewalk and so on. So that's going to be done shortly, from what I understand. The remaining sidewalk panels will be cast before the end of October. We'll have that done, and thereby that leads us to paving very late October, but more realistically early November, and that keeps us within the timelines that we forecasted and said that would take us all through. On top of that, miscellaneous maintenance throughout the region, that's being undertaken now at the same time, and that will continue right up through to December. Any questions?
Councilors? Councilor Johnson?
I heard Brad, you say these things are on time. Are they also on budget?
Yep, we're good. No problems. Sometimes you have to be, you know, you have to be careful with things, obviously, because we did take the Main and School Street. If you recall, we did that I think it was 40% or 35-40% under the consultant's estimate. And we were lucky because other municipalities, from what I understand, that particular infrastructure project that the funding became available, some of them are over like 100%, two or three times. And they've had to cancel the work. They just couldn't afford to do it. So us doing our own work and actually doing it below cost rather than multiples of, we had to watch that pretty carefully. Because it took that job actually pretty cheap, probably a little too cheap, but we got her done. We'll get her done.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
We're at the School Street, Waterloo Street, and the water and sewer system that's installed there. Is that all connected? Are all the homes now
in
that area going to our treatment facility?
They are.
So it's
from,
not being diverted into
in other words, from upper school beyond the Waterloo Street intersection.
Mm-hmm.
So they're coming down and being treated now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Including the hospital.
Yep. Including the hospital.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yep.
Any other councilor?
Oh, sorry.
Any other councilor? Councilor Peeler?
Brad, what is the capital project for next year? Is there one slated for town?
That'll be up for deliberation during budget sessions. I mean, I can only say that what we put in for five-year capital, and there are several. I mean, I'd have to look at that again, so I don't lose sight of that, but... there are, I think we had hoped, depends on what, council had to say. I mean, hopefully we get out Brooklyn, put a pump station in and do that remaining last little bit of work out there, or one of the last phases anyway. Then another project within town to replace some old sewer and water line probably would be the balance of our next year's
work. Where would that be in town?
Most likely Union Street, part of Union.
Okay. been challenging for not only staff but for people living in that area, for businesses like the Lighthouse, and I think that next year when we proceed, we need to do better at communicating and come up with a plan prior to, because all the complaints that we've heard, and Councillor Kelly as well, And the staff are great, the people that are working down there, but they need to know ahead of time. I visited one gentleman who lives on School Street, and they just want a heads up what's happening so they can plan their lives around it.
Well, I know we did, we did door-to-door, we give pamphlets, we gave it to our communications officer.
But something's
so, I mean, what the region
so
wants to do beyond that, we'll have to consider that for next year.
We need a better plan,
yeah.
So...
the region can
consider
that for next year. Yeah.
Prior to
the communication department.
Streets, so.
Any other councilor? Councilor Mews?
The skateboard park.
Yep.
I was over there a couple times. Seems like we're getting a lot of cracks on the upper surfaces. Is that a common thing?
You're going to have cracks. I mean, that's rebar. We'll hold it together. There's shrinkage cracks that occurred upon the pouring. All right. What you have to watch for is if they grow too large, right, then you got to caulk and seal them up, right? If they're, I'll call them micro cracks, really trying to do something with them would be worse than leaving them the way they are. And concrete cracks, I mean, if you didn't have steel in it, and there's ample steel in it, then you would get a lot of dislodging laterally, right? And that's not really happening.
So are they worried the bowl will start cracking?
No, I think what's cracked is already, during the pour is the shrinkage cracks. There is a one-year warranty on that work, and that expires middle of June, next summer, I think. Right. So we'll be looking at it again.
Yeah.
Right. But make no mistake, concrete cracks, and that's part of concrete structures, right? The maintenance would be is to ensure that they don't grow wide in the future. When they grow wide in the future, then you have to root them out and put caulking in, that type of thing, right?
But that's been done now, the cracks over there.
The contractor did some of the cracks, correct. Right. Now, some of them actually were debatable whether they really needed it, but I put my fist down and said, no, you're going to do it now, right? As opposed to wait for the maintenance period to expire, the warranty period. Yeah.
Councilor Kelly?
I just wanted to couple of things. One was School Street, obviously. You say you're going to be paving probably into the beginning of November when you finalize that project?
Correct.
Is the street will stay closed completely up until that point, or at some point will it be open in between those jobs being completed?
Well, we're still working on the street, so it will be closed.
So
it won't be open because you have to prepare the road base.
Yeah.
Right, and when now that the curbs are on both sides, the road is narrower than it is when it's just ash or you know, gravel from lawn to lawn things. So really, while they're doing sidewalk, and if you go up there today, they're doing sidewalk pours. You couldn't get through if you tried.
Yeah.
I mean, local residents can get through,
yeah,
but as a through route,
yeah,
you know, to get to the hospital and so on, it's not the way to go.
So really just sort of just understanding to give that expectation,
yeah,
to the people that have been asking me, you know, now that we're on the home stretch, people are we going to be able to start using School Street again? So I'm basically going to say the beginning of November probably when it's finished,
yeah,
right? The other thing is obviously when you do work right on Main Street, people notice and ask questions. So I wonder if you could just give me a little bit of idea of what's happening on the wall in front of the cemetery, the old burial ground? Cemetery, there's some work on the wall.
Yeah, every couple years, I guess. It's been a couple years since we do it. As that wall moves around and cracks, some mortar gets dislodged between the boulders and so on, we have a mason come in and tighten that up, and that's what we did this year. Now, we probably won't do that for a few more years after this year, right? But you have to do that periodically. That's what that is. It's maintenance.
It's just
right?
maintenance on
yep.
that wall. Is that wall due to be replaced at some time in the future?
Not that I know of, no.
So there's no danger of that wall falling down?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Yep.
Deputy Mayor McClain?
Brad, years ago I know that there were issues, and I was thinking about this with my experience years ago with council. When you say you're going to be doing some work in the next project on Union Street, possibly doing some
subject
upgrade.
To council approval, of course.
Yep, okay, yep. And I know there's a problem on Mill Lane that's always been an issue,
that's
so that will be corrected during
that. That would be part of next year's phase if that's approved, yes.
Yeah. As a point of information, the capital works program for the next 5 years can evolve and can change depending upon priorities that are identified from year to year, as well as if a project for funding comes down from Ottawa and the province, which may supersede one of the scheduled work areas, we may change that around, but it will be revisited during the coming spring. Correct, Greg?
That is absolutely correct. And in fact, this is a good example this year. We would not have done Maine and all of school in one fell swoop. That would have been broken out into several years had the funds not become available like they were. So things change.
Any other councilor have a question or comment? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Just an extension of my question. So hypothetically then, if the money isn't there to do Union Street and it goes to some other priority, then that little section on Old Mill Lane, would that still be addressed at some point because they've had issues with that blockage up there?
No, that really needs to be mobilized the same time in Union because the way it ties in and so
okay.
on.
I'll just make a quick comment. Information like that with the how things change around with the Capital Works program and actually doing this School Street project all in 1 year instead of breaking it into 3 years, that's really great information for councillors to be aware of and the public to be aware of, because I've used that, and because we were made aware of that, I think, in one of your previous updates, I have actually spoken and told that story to a number of people who are wondering about this project, and just to say, you know, we could be disrupted for the next 3 years. You're getting it all done in 1 year, so kind of just smooths the way. So that's great information to know.
And taxpayers were able to receive $1.6 million for that project.
Correct.
It didn't come from municipal taxes.
Correct.
The CAO?
That was going to be my comment, because the funding we were able to access was 50% federal, 25% from the province, and 25% from our division.
Which is unusual.
And
yeah.
Extremely unusual. 75%
funding is unusual.
Any other questions this morning? Thank you very much,
Brad.